It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon, everybody. I am your host, Colbert. Hope you had an outstanding weekend. Hope your Monday is doing right by you. It is May 1st. Like, one more month, we'll be halfway through the year. What the heck? Crazy. Nonetheless, we have an ambitious agenda today, like usual, but it is a hustle-up edition of the program. Game one of a four-game series in the nation's capital begins with pregame coverage on the Cubs Radio Network at 5:30 here tonight. Cubs Nationals, 6:05 first pitch, and we're going to do a little pregame to the pregame on the program today as our friend Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register, the Register's Iowa Cubs beat writer. Tommy is plugged in at all levels of the Cubs organization. Sorry, I know I've got my Cardinal fans out there that listen to the show, but you know what? You might want to pay attention because no better than your Cardinals are, there's going to be some guys that me and Tommy talk about that the Cardinals should probably consider trading for. So just a little bit of a hook there to keep you sticking around on this Monday edition of the show. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page. Type in 1650 The Fan on the Zuckerberg machine. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Make sure you bookmark that website. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. It's not a waste of your time. Otherwise, I wouldn't tell you to do it. 1650thefan.com. Local, statewide, national sports. It's all there. Audio on demand. It is a treasure trove that you'll want to make, as I said, a regular stop for yourself on the internets. All right, number to dial, well, how about we pass on that for today? Email address, the best way to get a hold of yours truly on this Hustle Up edition. Questions, comments, email address, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Area sports news and scores in just a moment. We'll take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast. Come back on the other side. We'll have our conversation pregame to the pregame with Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register. And then before we hand the baton to Zach Zaman and the Cubs Radio Network, we'll get you Radio Iowa Sports and Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary for this Monday. So let's get to the getting here, folks. That's what we got planned. Area sports news and scores for your Monday. Weather permitting, I've got one cancellation here. If there are any more, by all means, call in 319-277-1918 or send me an email and let me know, Cole at 1650thefan.com. Weather permitting, this evening's schedule of Metro Spring Sports and Girls Golf, Cedar Falls and Waterloo West competing at the Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet in Cedar Rapids. In Girls Track, Waterloo East at the Independence Invitational. In Girls Tennis, Waterloo Columbus in action at the North Iowa Cedar League Meet at Burns Park. And in Girls Soccer, Waterloo Columbus on the road at Marshalltown. The latest Iowa High School Soccer Coaches Association boys rankings have been released. One area school in those rankings, Gladbrook Rhinebeck, continues to be top-ranked in Class 1A. A sign that the summer sports season is nearing. Today, the first day that high school baseball and softball teams can begin practicing. First baseball games may begin on May 15th. First softball games can be played as early as May 22nd. Former Waterloo West standout Amir Kulovich committed to play basketball at North Dakota. Kulovich, a 6'9", 215-pound power forward, played at Lakeland Junior College in Ohio last year. As a freshman, started 30 games, averaged nearly 8 points, 6 rebounds per contest, shot 49% from the field. If you recall, Kulovich, a third-team All-State performer his senior season with the Wahawks. And unfortunately, the Waterloo Blackhawks season came to an end yesterday, losing 3-1 to Lincoln, the decisive Game 3 of that USHL Western Conference semifinal series. You heard it right here on The Fan. The score was tied at 1-1 going into the final period, but Lincoln scored a goal early in the period and then added a late empty net goal to seal that win. Blackhawks were held to just 20 shots and were 0-3 on the power play. Waterloo now shifts its focus to next year. First up, Phase 1 of the USHL draft tomorrow night. The UNI softball team clinched the Missouri Valley Conference championship yesterday. Panthers wrapped up a 3-game sweep on Saturday over Valpo with a 9-0 win. Combine that with a Missouri State loss to Indiana State. Panthers, for the second season in a row, that's the first time in program history, they are MVC back-to-back champions. Panthers head to Iowa on Wednesday before hosting Evansville for a 3-game series to end its regular season. Also yesterday in college softball, Iowa State toppled 18th-ranked Baylor 6-5. Iowa State used a 5-run fourth inning for a comeback win. Iowa State now 21-28 overall this season. Two more Iowa State Cyclones heard their name called on the final day of the NFL draft on Saturday. Wide receiver Xavier Hutchinson selected by Houston in the 6th round. Safety Anthony Johnson was selected by Green Bay in the 7th round. And finally, the University of Iowa baseball team had its game canceled against Penn State yesterday due to rain. The team split a doubleheader on Saturday. Hawkeyes return to action tomorrow night when they host Illinois State at Duane Banks Field. All right, let's take this time out. We'll come back, and Tommy Birch talks Iowa and Chicago Cubs next on this Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Oh, unlike the top seed in the East, the best in the West seemingly getting stronger. The Nuggets will host the Suns tonight in Game 2 after taking the opener. Jamal Murray was a force with 34, regaining his previous form. Two-time MVP Nikola Jokic said it's Murray that's been their best player.
He's playing amazing. I think he's definitely showing that what he's capable of, and he's our best player, and we are following him right now. He's bringing the energy. He's bringing the toughness, so everybody's following him.
The Suns will look for more from Kevin Durant, who was held at 29 on Saturday. Game 1 between the Sixers and Celtics tonight in Boston, with Joel Embiid doubtful with a sprained knee. One game in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Devils host the Rangers in Game 7. The winner moves on to face the Carolina Hurricanes. Last night in the pair of deciding games, it was the road team that won each. The Calgary Flames fired head coach Daryl Sutter after missing the playoffs this year for the second time in 3 years. Baseball today, the Mets have a 1-0 lead over the Braves in the bottom of the fourth. Atlanta took the first game 9-8. I'm Rich Ackerman.
This is Jim Rome. We are talking to the biggest names in all of sports in the jungle weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio.
Coverage of Cubs baseball begins at 5:30 on 1650 The Fan.
At Waterloo Schools, we offer cutting-edge, rigorous, and relevant academic experiences that prepare our students for college, military service, and a wide range of high-demand careers. But we can't do this alone. Partners in Education is a powerful network of businesses and organizations that support Waterloo Schools in a variety of ways, through sponsorships, volunteering, and more. This exciting cooperative agreement is between a business or an organization and one or more of our schools. The Partners in Education partnership can be tailored and customized to meet the unique needs of your business and our schools. We currently have over 50 community partners who contribute in their own unique ways to the welfare of our schools, the students, and the staff. And we're excited to keep growing our partnerships this spring. Together, we're growing champions from kindergarten to careers, college, and beyond. We rely on a wide range of businesses and organizations throughout the Cedar Valley, like coffee shops, banks, bowling alleys, and more, to join us as partners in education. Reach us at waterlooschools.org. With us, the future is now.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
The Cubs are a $1.30 road favorite at the Washington Nationals today, plus 120. Drew Smyly for the Cubs. Mackenzie Gore for the Nationals. 8.5 flat the total. Cubs have dropped 3 straight in 7 of 10 after losing to the Marlins 4-3 in Miami yesterday. Miami was another 55 underdog. The Cardinals have dropped 3 straight in 8 of 10 after a loss yesterday to the Dodgers, who were the $1.30 favorite at Chavez Ravine. The Cardinals back at Busch Stadium tomorrow against the Angels. NASCAR Cup Series rained out yesterday at Dover, Delaware. The race this afternoon of the Monster Mile. Kyle Larson, the plus 450 favorite. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. A wind advisory continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 37. Northwest winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Highs around 60 tomorrow. Sunny skies and calm. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 34. Upper 60s Wednesday. Low 70s Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 58.
This is the home of Cole & Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan, a hustle-up edition of the show as the Chicago Cubs begin a 4-game series tonight here on The Fan in the nation's capital against the Washington Nationals. We'll hand the baton to Zach Zabin with the Cubs Radio Network pregame at 5:30. So I figured, hey, to start off this series against the Nats, Cubs needing some wins here. They need a series win after being swept by the Marlins. Let's have a little pregame to the pregame with our guy Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register. Does an outstanding job covering the Iowa Cubs. Plugged in at all levels of Cubs baseball. Tommy, thanks so much for being here. Always appreciate your time, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. And as a Cubs fan who enjoys paying attention to all levels of the organization, the Iowa Cubs are sure standing out so far. I mean, this team is on fire, right? I mean, I know offensively the numbers are just obscene. Just take us into... You know, what's it been like covering this team so far this season?
It's pretty wild. You know, this is the first time I get StatCast data live during games. Sure, you get to see, you know, velo, you know, spin rate, stuff like that, exit velocity and distance. And I'll tell you what, like looking at the offensive numbers and seeing the exit velocities and the distances for a lot of these hard hit balls, because you have guys up and down this Iowa Cubs lineup that can really smash. It's been wildly entertaining. I mean, we saw him put up 18 runs over the course of 2 games in 3 days, another 13 or 14 the next day. So, you know, it's a lineup that we thought was going to hit really well this season. So far, they really have.
And, Tommy, it seems like, and we'll get into this a little more as the conversation goes along, some of those guys are poised to graduate to the big league club. But I think it'd be safe to say, hey, like we've talked many times on the show before, I mean, your recreational dollars, probably well spent with the Iowa Cubs the way it's looking, and probably better sooner than later, right?
Yeah, I mean, some of these guys are really forcing the issue. You know, Christopher Morel, Matt Mervis, obviously those are the two of the biggest names. You know, Christopher Morel got sent down to the minors to kind of improve his walk rate, kind of lower strikeouts a little bit. Strikeouts are still there. They've come down a little bit, but he's just absolutely raked. And I think when it comes to Matt Mervis, the idea was, okay, you had a huge 2022 season. Let's go see that is not a fluke. Let's see that that is really the player you are, because like there were some serious concerns when it came to Matt Mervis and what type of player he was moving forward. He was a non-drafted guy. He was got a struggle in 2021, but had that huge year in 22, that's part of the reason why the Cubs went out and got Mancini, got Hosmer, was they weren't totally sold that this was the guy that Matt Mervis was going to be. And I think the writing was kind of on the wall with those two signings, but the door has always been open that, hey, you go out to Iowa, you go back to AAA, and you do what you did last year, there's going to be a spot for you in Chicago, and right now he's doing that. And I think it's only a matter of time before we see him in Chicago playing first base and possibly DHing for the Cubs.
That's great news to hear, Tommy. And, I mean, that's got to be one of, if not the most pressing issue in terms of, like, the consternation that's out there on social media and elsewhere as far as the conversation around this Cubs team that's off to a great start. I think maybe not a great start, but a good start. Better, perhaps, than expected, having wrapped up the month of April, a game above 500. And I'm right there with that crowd that goes, okay, if you seem to be right on this line of contending or not contending, you know, how quickly can you make a decision to go Eric Hosmer on the vet minimum? You've been okay, but we've got Matt Mervis right here. Tommy, you're plugged in, as I said at the top, at all levels of the Cubs organization. You've covered baseball long enough, been in clubhouses, understand the dynamics that exist there. I think that's the biggest part of this conversation. What does it do, or what does it say to a clubhouse if Eric Hosmer, a respected veteran, you know, gets released for a Matt Mervis? Like, can the Cubs make that move right now on May 1st? Is it a lot different if they make it 3 weeks from now? There seems to be more than just baseball, on-the-field baseball dynamics at play here with this.
Yeah, I think with the Eric Hosmer situation, it obviously reminds me of kind of the same conversation we're having with Jason Hayward, where you not only brought in this guy, you know, obviously when Hayward first came in, the contract was totally different where he's a lot younger, but part of the reason why you kept Hayward for as long as you did is you valued his leadership in the clubhouse. You valued having that veteran guy, that type of experience, and that's something that they definitely need with a guy like Eric Hosmer. But look, you know, when they made those signings, it wasn't going to bring in Eric Hosmer for 1 month or possibly 2 months. They brought in Trey Mancini on a 2-year deal with the idea that, hey, this isn't going to be a quick thing that we're going to pull a trigger on. So I think it's going to be a little bit more time for Matt Mervis, but I will say if he keeps hitting, keeps doing what he's doing, and keeps getting on base, hitting home runs and driving in runs, put it this way, Matt Mervis is getting really, really close to Chicago, and I don't know what that means in terms of roster moves. Or a guy like Eric Hosmer is probably going to be the odd man out, but he has made it abundantly clear in I think his interview with Athletic and just from the conversations I've had with Matt Mervis, wildly accepting of Mervis and knowing that this guy is kind of the next dude that's coming up. You know, Hosmer was that guy in the past and understands what it means to be the young guy coming up through the system, eventually taking a job from a veteran. So, you know, Matt Mervis is going to be that guy one way or another, it looks like.
Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register, Iowa Cubs beat writer, our guest right now on this Monday edition of Cole & Company, pregame coverage of game one of a 4-game set of the Chicago Cubs in Washington to take on the Nationals, begins at 5:30. This is a hustle-up edition of Cole & Company. Tommy, Kyle Hendricks, the only remaining member of the Cubs' 2016 World Series team, is in Iowa right now, had a rough go in his first rehab start as far as results are concerned. So I think for our Cubs fans listening, Tommy, if I'm not mistaken, one, he's making a second rehab start tomorrow, but more importantly, two, I mean, do you have a candid take on, you know, where Hendricks is and what he looks like? Because the results the past season and a half had not been great. For as much as Cubs fans like myself love Kyle Hendricks, started Game 7 of the World Series, you know, what can you tell us about Kyle?
It's so hard to judge or to kind of evaluate Kyle Hendricks' stuff because you watch him during the game and, you know, obviously he doesn't have an explosive fastball. He doesn't have off-the-charts, off-speed stuff. He just really locates really well. There's not an off-speed pitch, you know, fastball, changeup, curveball, whatever, that, like, jumps off the page, you know, whether it's velo, whether it's RPM, spin rate, whatever. He just does a good job of pitch placement and pitch management, which makes it so difficult to tell, like, okay, how is he coming along during this rehab process? There aren't metrics to really base it off of, and especially the first start, you know, where the guy hasn't thrown, you know, in 9 months in a competitive game, there is going to be some rust to kind of shake off. I think the one thing that you take some positives on are, one, the below was up to close to 90. I think he threw a couple of pitches at 89, which is kind of where you want to see the velocity. It kind of really gone down towards that time in Chicago when Hendricks had been hurt.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing. He had struck out three hitters in a row at one point and kind of got into a little bit of a rhythm at one point. But I think the first start, you kind of throw out the window and say, okay, he's just getting back on the mound. I think I went into it kind of thinking, like, okay, this could be a two or three possibly rehab outing type return for Kyle Hendricks. But I think if anything, that first start kind of shined a light on the idea that, hey, this return's going to take some time. He's got to show some notable improvements in his second start, third start, and then maybe even a fourth start before he's ready to go.
Couple more minutes here with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register talking Cubs baseball before the Cubs Radio Network pregame show at 5:30. Tommy, just what I think we could call somewhat of a follow-up. Caleb Killian makes a spot start for an injured James Tyon, and it doesn't go well. Although, I think in fairness to Caleb, you know, a couple plays get made in that first inning. That outing could have looked a lot different. Then again, you know, he's had his struggles. But if I'm not mistaken, Ben Brown, an exciting starting pitching prospect, has been called up from Double-A, I think. So where do we stand with a organization that thought it had, you know, a good set of starters, like 6 through 9, to backstop injuries at the major league level? Javier Assad, you know, only was able to go 3 innings when he made that first spot start for Jameson Taillon. Is Ben Brown kind of the next guy up here? Because if so, if you're a prospect nerd like me, that kid's got some exciting looking stuff.
Yeah, he's been absolutely lights out in Double-A. He's going to make his first Triple-A start Wednesday at Columbus. I think he had 4 starts at Double-A Tennessee. He ended up throwing like 20 innings, striking out 30 hitters. Just an obscene amount of putouts. I think the only kind of worry when it comes to Ben Brown is possibly control, but he has got some great stuff. He's got good fastball, you know, good curveball, a decent changeup that's coming along, and that new sweeping slider they introduced this year has kind of allowed him to take his game off, which has kind of also allowed him to kind of jump Caleb Killian in the prospect rankings. I think kind of on maybe the unofficial depth chart for the Cubs to say, like, okay, now we're going to turn maybe our attention to him. Caleb Killian's now had a couple of opportunities at the big league level to go up and show what he's done. Both those opportunities have not fared very well. I think it's still way too soon to really cut the cord on Caleb Killian, but I think now expectations are kind of a little bit more tempered when it comes to Killian. I think there's still a ton to offer there with Killian. I think it was just kind of maybe some mismanagement by the Cubs. I think they've been very, very careful in how they brought him along and then just kind of done some different things with him when he's gotten to the big leagues. Now the key for him is coming back to Iowa and pitching well, because last time he ended up going to Chicago and struggled. He came back down to Iowa and just never could regain that that form that made him really good to start the year. So we're going to find out a lot about Caleb Killian moving forward, and now with Ben Brown in Triple-A, we're going to find out just how good of a pitching prospect he is, because the International League is full of heavy hitters, and he is going to face his truest test in pro baseball.
There you have it, the latest on the Iowa Cubs from Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register, the Register's Iowa Cubs beat reporter, and in the conversation with Tommy that we just ran out of time for here at the end that I had just earlier today, asked him, you know, final thing, hey, what do you give in terms of chances with the big league club after a month to contend? And he said, well, it's just a matter of them needing to be there at the trade deadline, because it does look like if the Cubs are probably about seven games or more out of it, they're going to have some good pieces the teams are going to want at the trade deadline. So if the Cubs want to contend, they got to be there in the first half. They can't wait. Might not get that opportunity to make a push in the second half. Or if they do, it's going to be with young players, right? Maybe some pieces sold off, like, unfortunately, Cody Bellinger. Let's hope it doesn't get there. Back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.